Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful week.
I hope so as well.
A long week for us.
Yes, it was. And that shows because we're a day behind.
Yeah, we're actually a day behind. I had intended on being a day ahead this week, but no.
No, you're not only not on time or ahead, but you're behind.
Yeah. Well, I did have a lot going on in the past week, so.
Yeah, it's been a crazy busy week between holidays and rallies and everything else.
So, before we get to the rally, I would like to talk about Twitter.
All righty.
So, we have some more followers.
Excellent.
We have Secular Left, Joseph Lodato.
Hopefully, he's not butchering that.
William Hodge, and Atheist Atheist.
Excellent.
So, four new Twitter followers. And you can follow us, too. What is our handle? You should know it by now.
Just Secular Yakking?
At Secular Yakking, yes.
Whatever.
You don't Twitter, so you don't understand.
I don't Twitter. I don't Facebook. I'm the oddball out.
Yeah, well, whatever. Anyway, we did have a rally.
Yes, we did.
I think a very successful rally, if you ask me.
Yes, I just wish it wasn't on a Wednesday, because that's a bummer. A lot of people have to work.
I know. I heard that all weekend.
Weekend, yeah.
Everybody told me, I wish I hadn't had it on Wednesday.
Yeah,
it would wasn't have
come
my,
if
well,
it wasn't on a work day, you know.
It wasn't my deal. I had to be there opposite Franklin Graham.
I know.
But good news is I'm going to plan another one.
And you're going to make sure it's on a weekend.
Yeah, we're in talks about what it's going to be and when it's going to be. But
right.
Look for that probably
sometime
early next year.
Yeah, the beginning of next year sometime.
So we're going to talk about that
eventually.
But now we're going to talk about this rally.
Yes.
Which I had a great time at.
Mm-hmm.
Took that 2-hour drive to Olympia.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was 3 with traffic.
3 with traffic. Yeah, true. It wasn't horrible, though. I've had worse traffic.
Oh, yeah.
And got set up and then had to wait.
Yes.
And wait.
Well, because we were running behind, but it turns out we were actually the earlier of the running behinds.
Right. So what happened was Franklin Graham's rally grew to roughly
3,000?
Roughly 3,000 to 5,000.
Oh, okay.
When it was originally intended for 500 or 600.
Right.
So that's what the Capitol had adjusted for.
Right.
They had not realized how many people were going to show up. And here's what happened. With them, I found out.
Okay.
They were busing people in from California.
Oh, that's where all
because,
those buses were from.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think they got enough response from Washington, so they were busing people in.
That's kind of fudging the numbers, don't you think?
That's pretty tricky. I don't know. I could
be
wrong.
Yeah, I kept seeing all these buses. I'm
but
like, where the hell are these buses coming from?
When you have to bus in your audience, you don't have the
so
audience.
So you look good.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, he was over there.
I did not know
making
that.
A lot of noise
while
we're trying to have our nice, peaceful rally.
Yeah, we're talking about equality for all and encompassing everyone, and they're over there, you know, condemning everyone and talking about, you know, basically how to separate everybody.
Yeah, that was kind of the
It was
messages.
A polar opposite of
Complete
us.
Complete opposite,
yes.
Yeah. In fact, he was pissed off that the mayor's office had the pride flag on. It being Pride Month,
I
that
was
made
gonna
sense.
Say we just had the Pride Parade here in Seattle.
Yeah, it was. It was Pride Month,
so, right? Well, yeah. No, and regardless of that, it.
Yeah, he,
I mean,
he said the stupidest thing about that. He said, you know, we couldn't have a Christian flag up there. People would go crazy.
Yeah, separation, well, church and state.
You're right.
Pride has nothing to do with church and state.
Exactly. So
it's
he's equating
thing.
two different things so he can try
right.
to make a point. I think he's a dishonest liar, if you ask me.
Okay, I you know, definitely.
That was a bit redundant there, but whatever.
Actually, that was extremely. But to me, that's just kind of how I see all of those that are up there in those positions. It's about the power, and it's about the attention
yep.
That's all it comes down to. Yeah. And the money, of course.
Yeah. So we had some good speakers.
Yes, we did.
Sam Mulvey talked about his workings with city councils and why we need a better separation of church and state. Then there was Carrie Ray, who got up and told why the future generation needs separation of church and state.
Yes, and I will kind of praise our daughter.
Yeah, absolutely.
She did a great job. She was actually the first speaker.
She was second.
That's right. It was Sam. Then it was her. Yeah. She was really nervous. It's the first time she had ever talked.
And she got heckled.
Yeah. She had that guy come in and start yelling while she was talking.
But she did amazing. That
she was like, kind of like, what?
Yes. But
you know, after some, that. After it some was pretty low of that guy because she's a kid up on the stage. She's an easy person to interrupt. Yep. That's why he did that.
Yep. And thanks to the encouragement from the crowd, she kept going and even got louder.
Yeah, she really did.
Right. And then we had Bob, who brought some interesting ideas about In God We Trust and E Pluribus Unum.
Yeah.
As I expected he would. And then we had Jennifer Goulet, who is running for Washington's 9th District.
That's right.
And she was talking about why she's running.
Right.
As an atheist, as an open atheist, and probably the first one ever.
And encourages more people to do so.
Right. So, and then we had Shelley Siegel.
She was actually playing music before we even got started. Yeah, it was very nice of her. That was very, very nice of her.
But she talked about it's important for separation church state issues, especially since she's moving here.
Yes, I believe she is here now permanently.
Well, yeah, she's working on it. And then we had, who was next? Scott Bastian?
I believe so.
And my favorite line from Scott, and it's probably my favorite line from the entire rally, because he was talking about blue states and red states.
Oh,
And he says, my dream is that we have a purple America.
Huh.
One that is truly diverse.
Right.
Right. So I really like that line.
Yeah, I'm so sick of the red and blue.
Yeah. We need purple. We need to get rid of these dividing lines. But that's a whole different issue.
That could be a whole show on itself.
Yeah. And then we had, Tarkus.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Satanic Temple. Yeah, and he talked about why the Satanic Temple encourages In God We Trust.
Right.
Yeah, that you need to watch. I'm not going to give you spoilers on that, but that was awesome.
There was also a heckler that walked by while he was up there also.
They were just saying, he kept yelling, take off your mask, because they were wearing bandanas around their faces. And he kept yelling, take off your mask, take off your mask. And Tarkus just ignored him completely.
Oh, yeah, he just kept going smooth as a sail. Yeah. Yep,
did not even stutter.
No, not at all.
And then we had Damien At Hope, who talked about being an atheist and why the original motto is important to him.
Right.
And then, who was it? Becky.
Yes.
Becky Friedman. She gave a dual language speech talking about her students, because she's an educator, and the diversity of her students and why it's important for them as well. And then we had Travis.
Yes. Big Funny.
Yeah. The Big Funny Travis Simmons, who talked about, gave us some great Ingersoll quotes. Did some of his cool comedy, which is always funny. And then my favorite part was when he called out the people in the corner praying for us.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was good.
I was laughing so much on that one. Yeah, he's not shy by any means.
Oh, no. That's kind of why I wanted him to close. I wanted it to be very upbeat when on the close.
And he's very passionate about Robert Ingersoll.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you don't know Robert Ingersoll, you definitely want to go look him up. The guy was way ahead of his time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he had some awesome things to say.
So the videos are up. I did a blog post on originalmotto.us. I did my recap of the... It's a short little. It's basically what I just said, but it's written down with videos.
Oh, okay.
So you can go watch the videos there. Or if you go to originalmotto.us or the Original Motto Facebook page, I loaded them up there last night.
Oh, okay.
So lots of places to watch the videos. Share them, make them work. Okay, that's the rally.
That sounds good.
Yeah, like I said, going to be another one. I liked it.
Well, and just as a side note, Carrie, this was her first time making a speech of any kind, let alone in front of tons of people. But she said, even after she was done, she was still terrified. But she said, I loved it.
Yeah. It's
which I thought was, I was surprised actually.
It's that exhilarating she said, being a
yeah,
it's
she was
different.
Totally nervous even after she was done, but she said she just absolutely loved it. Yeah,
this was also my first rally speech. I've given presentation and I've done weddings. But it's so different when you're up there trying to pump up a crowd and get excitement.
Yeah, because you're not Mr. Excitement.
No, but, well, granted, I'm not Mr.
Well,
Excitement.
Well, and in fairness, though, yours was more like you're the introducer. Yeah. Kind of the impression I got.
I wasn't
they
necessarily...
were the speakers. But yeah, no, it was all good.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll definitely do it again.
Hi there. This is Matthew the Apostle. Have you been wondering if it was your local pastor that ran away with the church's money? And the deacon's wife? Do you just want to know if it was your rabbi that was arrested for planting a spy camera in the women's bathhouse? Has it ever crossed your mind that it might just be your archbishop that was arrested for fondling children in his care? Or do you just want to know more about the Southern Baptist pastor who was arrested for seeking a little, canine carnal companionship? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, you need to listen to In the Name of God, the podcast, your weekly roundup of the most bizarre and hypocritical actions of the people who claim to live the pure and pious life as dictated by their God. In the Name of God, the podcast, the religious news from the atheist apostle. A proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. On the web at secularoutreach.com.
Next story. So, you know Tom,
yes,
who does Yak from the Past.
Yak from the Past. I really like that title.
So, he is going through some personal issues right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to move back to San Diego from Springfield.
Oh, okay.
And he would like some help.
Yeah, that's good size move.
Yeah. He's got a GoFundMe up.
Uh-huh.
Because he really has to move quickly.
Like now, yeah.
We'll put a link in the show notes. But it's called Help Tom Not Starve, which is kind of cool. I would like for him not to starve.
One would hope.
Yeah. He's got a pretty modest goal of only $500, so.
Oh, yeah.
So that's cool.
And that'll help him be able to make that move, like,
well,
real soon.
The goal, I think he can make the move, but he needs to be able to pay for some expenses. And
I was going to say, just physically, there's so much more than just physically moving.
Right. So
yeah,
he needs to be able to pay some bills and stuff like that,
right,
on the way.
So
that's what that's for.
Any little bit makes
and
a difference.
If you like Yak from the Past and you want to hear it, go give him some money because he's not coming back till he gets moved.
Yeah, because he's got to get things in order.
Right. So the faster he moves, the faster he comes back to the show.
Excellent, because I like that.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, it's good info.
So we're going to go back to regular news.
All righty.
Something great happened this week.
All right.
Military to lift ban on transgender people serving openly.
Well, it's about damn time.
Yeah. Defense Secretary Ash Carter announced the recommendations from the working group formed last summer on lifting the ban of open transgender service members. This announcement includes recommendations, plans, and timeline to when transgender service members will be fully able to serve openly and authentically.
Yeah, I did hear that they have to be, I want to say, 6 months in as being transgender in order for it to be legal,
right,
with
for
the military.
To be recognized.
That's what I meant. Because they want to make sure this is
right. It's not
you're
just
settled and this, yeah, is what you want.
It's not a phase.
You're not, you know, in the middle of is this what I want? I'm gonna try it out. But yeah, that's the only stipulation that I heard, right, is that it's gotta be at least 6 months.
So this is actually really, really good news.
Absolutely.
OutServe SLDN, a national organization devoted to assisting those affected by the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policies, had this to say. Transgender service members have been waiting this announcement for months and years. It has been long overdue. Secretary Carter, with his statement, has given a breath of relief and overdue respect to transgender service members, who have been and currently serve our country with undeniable professionalism, the utmost respect and illustrious courage, with the caveat to do so silently.
Excellent.
So this is piggybacking off the allowing gay service members to serve openly.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
it's the final step in the don't ask, don't tell.
And basically they talked about they will not, regardless of transgender, gay women doing combat, they will not deviate from the qualifications for certain positions. And that mostly pertained to the women going in the front lines and stuff. And I completely agree with that.
I don't think
a woman can do it, a woman should be allowed to do it.
Right. And meet the same qualifications as a man.
Right. And the same for any transgender, any gay, any person.
Right.
If you can do what the requirement is, then you have every right to do it.
Right. On the other side, if you can't meet the requirements, you shouldn't be doing it.
And that goes for any person or sex.
And it should be the same requirements for everybody.
It is. As far as I understand, it's one requirement. Either you can do it or you can't. End of story.
Good.
That's one thing I heard with all this going on recently.
Because I wasn't aware that they were changing that policy. So that's good.
Yeah. It was mostly pertaining to the whole women thing, but it was for everyone.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yes.
I have something a little less fun.
Okay.
Illinois man charged with desecrating American flag after posting photos on Facebook.
Wait, he was charged?
He was charged.
Seriously?
A 22-year-old Illinois man had been charged with desecrating the American flag after he posted photos on Facebook, along with messages decrying the state of violence and race in the U.S.
You sure about that? You sounded kind of trippy on that.
Yeah. So he doesn't like the way the U.S. is being run right now. So he's burning an American flag as a protest.
But he has every right to do that.
Well, that's, we're going
to
get to that.
Free speech, isn't it?
Yeah. Brighton Mellett was booked in the Champaign County Jail Monday after police received numerous calls from citizens concerned about his safety and theirs, which is weird.
Yeah, that sounds really weird. Yeah.
The Urbana Police Department investigated Mellett's Facebook page, where he had posted photos of him burning the American flag, along with some of the following commentary. I am not proud to be an American. In this moment, being proud of my country is to ignore the atrocities committed against people of color, people living in poverty, people who identify as women, and against my own queer community on a daily basis.
I don't see anything wrong with that statement.
I don't.
Being an American means you have the right to not be happy with your government.
And you have the right to say something about it.
American government. And you have the right to say it. Right. Exactly.
So, while I don't like the idea of burning the flag as symbology.
No, I agree. But at the same time, he has every right to do so. He has every
right
to do that.
Right. Which brings an interesting point. I was talking to one of the neighbors the other day.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he had said that if he catches someone burning the flag, he's going to beat them up.
Holy crap. Really?
Really.
We'll have to talk about this later.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me this.
No, but that's what he said. And, you know, I decided right then I was going to hold my tongue because I have to remain neighborly.
Yeah, because we have to live here.
Right. But I really, really wanted to say, so you don't believe in the freedom of speech.
Or what every man that has died, woman that has died, in every war that's ever been fought for that right to do so.
The flag is a symbol. It is not the end-all, be-all of United States of America.
Right.
It is a symbol. And burning it is symbolic.
Yeah, it's not like you're actually burning American citizens. Right. I mean, but yeah, I also find it kind of interesting that they basically arrested and charged him on his personal Facebook.
Right, for burning the flag.
But you said something in your Facebook I don't agree with. I'm going to arrest you now.
Illinois does have a statute against burning flags.
Uh-huh.
But it's unenforceable.
I was going to say, it's unconstitutional.
Right. The state attorney's office is declining to file charges, as the act of burning a flag is protected free speech, according to U.S. Supreme Court decision Texas versus Johnson.
Uh-huh.
It is a constitutional right.
So are they not going to
to charge him. They have to release
but
him.
But it's pretty, the whole point is it's sad that they even did this in the first place. The fact that
they
place.
Arrested him on this, they need The police needs to be informed of this. This is not, you can't just.
Because.
You would think the police officers would know this by now.
You would assume so. People in that kind of a position. I mean, just because someone does something that you don't agree with does not make it illegal.
Yep. In fact, Eleanor Holmes Norton said this. I went and looked up some quotes.
Oh, okay.
Said, the only way to make sure people you agree with can speak is to support the rights of people you don't agree with.
That's right.
Yeah.
While, that's actually a good quote.
Yeah, it is. While I disagree with a lot of speech that I hear.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say you can't say that.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to get up in your face and say what I want to say, though.
Right, and that's kind of where, when you have something like this where it pertains to, you know, the flag kind of thing, or you can even take it to religion. It's the same concept.
Right.
They have every right to believe what they want to believe and say what they want to say about their religion, but then we also have the right to say what we want to say. And the problem is that a lot... most of the time, the other side doesn't want to hear the opposing side.
Right. Well,
they're not even willing to hear it.
Yeah, I get a lot of censorship.
And then it gets kind of boiling at that point.
And what really angers me, I don't care if, say, a private citizen wants to try and silence me. That's different.
Right.
So they want to shout me down. That's different.
That's their right to do so.
But when a public official decides to silence me, that's a different issue. And that's kind of what we're dealing with here.
Breaking laws at that point. Right. So that's a little different.
That's pretty much what we're dealing with here is the government, as in the police department.
The police department is part of the government.
They
yes.
have decided to silence his free speech by arresting him for this.
So, yeah, that's the difference between a private citizen and a government official.
Well, not even just a government official. They still have certain free speech rights. But when they are the government,
right?
When acting as the government, they lose certain rights.
They have rules they have to abide by.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
Well, the good news is he won't be charged, though.
So. Yeah. It's just sad that it went to that point.
I know.
I mean, and I find it really weird that they say they worried for his safety and their own. That kind of sounded like a cop-out, just to go get the police involved.
Basically, because no one was in danger. He was burning a flag.
Yeah.
What was he? If he
Could
was
you waiting, imagine if we did that, they would just lose it in this
they
neighborhood.
They would lynch us. Surprised I don't get lynched already sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Our bumper stickers are quite visual.
Yeah. I got something else interesting. Okay. Nobel laureates to Greenpeace. Your anti-GMO campaign has to end. Huh. Yeah, I have a stance on GMOs.
Yes.
I am for GMOs.
I have no problems with GMO only because their goal is not to kill us all. No. I mean, it's a scientific... Well, and having a medical condition that I have, my stuff is GMO.
Yeah.
All the things that I have to eat.
Kind of.
If they didn't create that, I wouldn't be able
Yours
function.
Is chemically altered, not genetically altered.
Blah, blah.
There's a difference. There's
yeah,
a difference.
I know. It's just kind of all the science thing. Same thing.
109 Nobel laureates signed on to a sharply worded letter to Greenpeace urging the environmental group to rethink its longstanding opposition to GMOs.
Right.
Quote, we urge Greenpeace and its supporters to reexamine the experience of farmers and consumers worldwide with crops and foods improved through biotechnology. Recognize the findings of authoritative scientific bodies, regulatory agencies, and abandon their campaign against GMOs in general and golden rice in particular. Greenpeace has spearheaded opposition to golden rice, which has the potential to reduce or eliminate much of the death and disease caused by vitamin A deficiency, which has the greatest impact on the poorest people in Africa and Southeast Asia.
Well, and that's how that's what I was thinking, because they do... The whole point of the GMOs is to help, not hinder. To you know, take out things like that and to help create, like, on the environment. It would take down some stress on the environment, you know, if you could do certain things with foods and make it better for you and...
Right. More nutritious.
Yes. And so, have what's necessary in it that it's missing.
Here's my problem with Greenpeace and the GMO issue. They are very climate friendly.
Right.
I mean, that's all their whole deal is to save the climate,
mm-hmm.
which they listen to scientists
mm-hmm.
on climate issues.
Right.
But they refuse to listen to scientists on GMOs.
But they can go hand in hand, so they should listen.
Yeah, they should listen. If they listen to one set of scientists, they really should listen to another set of scientists. Right.
I mean,
so that creates this cognitive dissonance within them. It makes me wonder why they would do such a thing. Why they would be so anti-GMO.
I don't know. I keep thinking everybody's anti-GMO right now because it's kind of like the thing. It's the fad
Greenpeace
thing
has always
on.
Been anti-GMO.
Yeah.
But which is weird because GMO crops will improve the climate, or should improve the climate. I'm not saying they
will.
Well,
it also helps the stress on the land, and not to mention the food sources that we have. They're not going to be, you know, high food sources. As time goes on, things are going to dwindle and get harder and harder to, you know, keep producing, and stuff like GMOs can help alleviate that stress.
Right. Well, especially in like golden rice.
Mm-hmm.
So in areas where their main staple is rice,
mm-hmm.
the regular white rice that they grow, which isn't really white rice, it's a different kind of rice, but it doesn't have a lot of nutrients.
Nutrients, right.
It's filling and cheap.
Right, but it's not nutrient rich.
No, but golden rice is. Mm-hmm. It's been designed to grow well in these areas. It's designed to provide the nutrients they're missing in their diet.
Right.
At vitamin A deficiency causes blindness.
Hmm.
So already we're fixing two problems, malnutrition and blindness.
All right.
And being environmentally friendly.
Right. And, you know, rice is so much more readily available as far as in large enough quantities to feed large people.
Right.
People.
Greenpeace is against golden rice because it's GMO.
And that's the other thing. It's not like they're free to just create whatever they want. There's still rules and regulations, and they're closely monitored.
That's the big difference.
That's kind of what I
very closely monitored and regulated.
Well, exactly. That's
unlike
that's why
with
I
organic,
think it's,
which all they have to do is meet a couple rules,
yeah,
and
I've
they're
seen
organic.
A lot of info on that stuff. You think is really says it's organic? It's not. Organic. Organic. My goodness, as you think they are.
Right. Fine. Go ahead and eat organic. I don't care, but don't assume that it's perfectly safe. Because it's
completely
not.
Right.
In fact, with GMOs, you can actually reduce the amount of pesticides you use.
Yeah.
With organics, you actually have to use more pesticides.
Yes, I actually just read something about that.
And you get a lower yield per acre, mm-hmm. a way lower yield per acre than GMOs.
Right.
So GMOs are a far better choice. Environmentally.
And like I said, as long as it is monitored and watched closely, it can be a safe thing. It's not that stigma of you're going to die eating this kind of a thing.
And you're not. These things are tested and tested and tested.
Right. They're trying to help people, not hurt people.
Exactly. So
but I guess only time will tell.
Greenpeace needs to come around on this.
Well, time will tell.
I have another piece of good news.
Oh, do you?
Yes. NASA did something really awesome this week.
Did they?
Yeah, they were able to put a spacecraft in orbit around Jupiter.
Cool.
Yeah. We don't usually get to put them in orbit around outer planets. We usually just pass them by.
Right.
Yep. After a 5-year journey to the solar system's largest planet, NASA's Juno spacecraft successfully entered Jupiter's orbit during a 35-minute engine burn. And that happened on July 4th.
Cool.
I was in here. I was watching it while the crazies in the neighborhood were setting off fireworks.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of cool to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. NASA says this, Independence Day is something to celebrate, but today we can add America's birthday another reason to cheer. Juno is at Jupiter, said Charlie Bolden, NASA administrator. What is more American than a NASA mission going boldly to where no spacecraft had gone before? With Juno, we will investigate the unknowns of Jupiter's massive radiation belts to delve deep into the only planets to not only the planet's interior, but into how Jupiter was born and how our entire solar system evolved.
Yes, I also heard that after they're done with this, was it this one or was it something else, that they were going to send it into Jupiter's atmosphere.
I didn't read that, but that may be true.
I think I want to say it had something to do with the moon, with the Jupiter's moon that they were talking about.
Oh, maybe
recently, but I'd heard that they were going to send it into the atmosphere to let it die in the atmosphere versus having it it had just something to do with the moon versus having it crash and contaminate their moon.
Yeah,
they were going to send it into Jupiter's atmosphere. I wonder if they'll get any readings before it dies.
They
that
will
would be
for
cool.
a while until the pressure crushes it.
Right. Yeah,
but they also want to look and see if Jupiter has a solid core, because they think it might.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Which would explain the magnetic field that it has.
Yeah. That would be really cool.
Yeah. Hopefully we get... it's going to be... I think they said 6 months before we start getting real readings.
Oh, okay.
I think they said 6 months.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool watching that. I didn't get to actually see it happen, but you know, the reaction of everybody in the control room, they were all ecstatic. It was great. Good fun.
Sweet.
And in other news, anti-science theme parks opens this week to mislead thousands of about the origins of the Earth.
So we go from science to anti-science.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling the Ark Encounter theme park. Ken Ham. Yes. is opening his $100 million Ark theme park.
Is insane, by the way.
Yeah. And it opens technically tomorrow as of this recording.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. I know a lot.
Thursday, right?
Yeah, Thursday. An interesting thing is they've extended the hours. So I thought this, you saw this on their website.
Yeah, I caught
so
that.
So their hours are going to be 9 a.m. to midnight for, get this, 40 days and 40 nights.
Oh my God, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
Why?
And you get to see dinosaurs.
Why?
Dinosaurs and people.
Yeah, that, why? That's all I can say is why.
So...
And why the hell do people believe this shit? Oops.
That's
seriously.
Fine. Yeah, it's interesting because they've already got the Creation Museum, which is not it's not even really a museum. It's an animatronic, poorly adapted attempt at Disney World.
Well, and yeah, that's what they're shooting for. But what is also more absurd, I think, is that when you look at the Ark, it's not even close to how it was built, supposedly built back then. Because, as you said, the crossbeams had the metal plates that was holding them together.
It was built with cranes. It was built with modern machinery. It was built with modern hundreds and hundreds of people.
It's all about
not one 600-year-old man and his three kids.
With primitive tools.
With Bronze Age tools.
Yeah. It's all about the money. That's what it's about.
Yeah. It's really about
the money. Oh, you should see the price of the tickets, man.
Yeah, it was $40 a day.
$40 a day, or you can get a two-day pass for like $75. Yeah. And then it goes like all the way up to an annual pass for $125,
that's just...
$100 and something like that.
What I found interesting was a seven-day pass.
Do you need 7 days to see a 500 square foot thing?
Well not a 500 square foot, but a 500 foot boat.
That's what I meant, 500 feet.
Yeah, 500 square feet. Yeah.
It's teeny.
Well, it might as well be.
But still, that's just, oh God, and so many people are going to go see it too.
Well, the good news is the Friendly Atheist is going to be, I think he said he's going to be doing a live Facebook feed of it.
That'll be fun.
Well, maybe not him directly, but
right
it's gonna be there. Actually, a lot of the atheist bloggers are going to give their report on the Ark Encounter.
It's just
gonna
funny.
Be fun.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to those because I never intend on going.
No, I won't. I just, everybody's gonna go, I can look at what they get, you know.
Yeah. And I predict this is gonna be eventually a massive failure.
Yeah,
I don't know. The Creation Museum's been around a long time.
I'm going to say they're all crazy.
Yeah.
They'll probably keep going.
Yeah. And the good news on this was the FFRF sent a letter to 1,000 schools in the area telling them that it is unconstitutional for them to have field trips to
the Ark Encounter. Schools.
Yeah. Hopefully they listen, but they probably won't.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. So don't go see the Ark Encounter.
No, not unless you want to waste your money, but okay.
And I think that's all the yakking I got.
I believe that is, because it is time.
It is time.
So I guess we will have to yak at them next week.
Yep, next week. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.